Our next storyteller is a lifelong Alaskan, and I've heard her name a lot over the years with associated with Ski for Kids or as a librarian. She grew up with the Nordic Ski Club here in Anchorage. She remembers monthly Nordic meetings at Central Junior High and the yearly Nordic Ski Club polka party at the National Guard Armory. She was on the first ski train and met her husband, Gunnar, there many years later. A mere 37 years ago, she was a top collegiate skier. She spends her winter weekends being a green grunt, like Tamara was talking about earlier, and is a U.S. ski team and APU Nordic ski team super fan. She taught in the Anchorage School District for 30 years, most recently as the librarian at Chugach Optional, where she could be found each winter with classes on skis, having outdoor library. Please welcome Alice Knapp.
Oh boy, here we go. So I think I need a prop. And this is my prop, which I don't know if you can see it well, but I'll put it on. So this is Jesse Diggins' uniform sleeve. And so there's two things you need to know about me. One is I'm a super fan of Nordic skiing. And secondly, I'm good luck. And I'm going to give you four examples of how I am good luck. First example is the most recent. And even though I didn't go to South Korea to watch Keegan and Jesse ski, I was awake that night, and I was watching live on TV all by myself. My dog must have thought I'd gone crazy. I was wearing Jesse's sleeve, and I was cheering loud, and they got the gold, and I knew they would. So that's example one. Example two was the World Cup weekend prior to the Olympics was in Seefeld, Austria. And I had traveled there with my husband and a group of people with the National Nordic Foundation. And it was a fundraising trip for the National Nordic Foundation, but it was also a chance to ski on these great trails and to watch the last World Cup weekend before the Olympics. And again, I was good luck. I had my American flag. That weekend, we got a tour of the amazing U.S. team wax truck by Matt Wickham. And I met Jason Cork, who is Jesse Diggins' coach. And Jason Cork, I was just talking to him. You know, I talked to Eric Flora. He was there, and he was pumped because the Olympic team had just been announced, and it was pretty amazing. But at any rate, Jason Cork, I was just talking to him, never had met him before, and he pulls his sleeve out of his drawer, and this is after the sprint day. No, this was the day before the sprint day. Anyway, he pulls his sleeve out, and he says, I think I'm going to give this to you. And so I've been wearing it for every World Cup, Olympic race since then. So I am good luck. But that weekend, Sophie Caldwell on the U.S. ski team tied for first in the sprint on Saturday. And then on Sunday, Jesse Diggins won the 10K at Seefeld, the last race before the Olympics, World Cup with all the stars. So it was, you know, that's example two of why I'm really good luck. Example three was about 5 years prior to that. My husband and I went to the Falun Sweden World Championships. And the American women's team has been getting better and better and better. And there were medal hopefuls, and Keegan, of course, was a big medal hopeful. Unfortunately, that week wasn't her best week, but on one of the races, American girls, Jesse Diggins and Caitlin Gregg got second and third, and it was a big deal, world championships, for them to get that medal. And again, I was there, so I am good luck. So that was example three, and last example. When I was still teaching, I decided last minute to go to the Vancouver Olympics. And to watch the Nordic events. And it was a kind of a last minute deal, but my principal was really understanding. I said, I'll incorporate my lesson plans for a year into this if you let me go, you know? And so I got to go to these Olympics. And the very first day, our plan was just to watch the Nordic events. But we ended up showing up on the second half of the combined event. And Gunnar and I were there with our American flags at the corner when Johnny Spillane and Billy DeMung won gold and silver medals in the combined, and that had never happened in the U.S. So I am good luck. That was number four. Okay. So, but that's not really my story at all. Okay. So how did I become a super fan? Well, I'm gonna take you way back to when I was 10 years old. And I grew up in Anchorage, ski community. My mom and dad sort of put me on skis as soon as I could walk, as far as I know. They didn't really believe in babysitters or anything like that. So I was dragged along, and I didn't know anything different, so it was okay. At any rate, when I was 10, my mom decided that she really wanted to go to the Holmenkollen ski race in Norway. And the reason she wanted to go there was to watch the first American woman to get to ski there, and that was Barbara Britch, who grew up in Anchorage and was, you know, sort of an up-and-coming skier. And as far as I know, she was the first American woman to ski at the Holmenkollen ski race. And my mom, you need to know, was a big sports fan. She was very athletic. She participated in all sorts of, you know, sporting activities, tennis, golf, skiing. She would show off her dives at the pool. You know, she was very athletic, but she also was a big sports fan, and it didn't really matter what sport it was. If it was on TV or on the radio, she was listening to it. Even when I was racing in high school, she would come out to cheer me on in the races, and she'd be out in the middle of Kincaid on the old lake loop, and she would have two radios going with two different football games. And I would ski by. I think she cheered for me. Maybe she noticed me. But she was a big, big sports fan. And so when I was 10, she decided that she was going to take us to Holmenkollen. And that was a really big deal. My parents were both very busy doctors. They had very full lives. They didn't travel a lot. When they did, it was to medical conferences or maybe back east to visit family, but they didn't really go traveling a lot. And here they were gonna pull my brother and I out of school and go to Norway to watch the Holmenkollen, to see Barbara Britch ski, the very first American woman to ski at Holmenkollen. It was a big, big deal. And so we got ready to go, we got our passports, we flew SAS from Anchorage to Seattle, over the pole to Copenhagen. They had really cool scooters, pedal scooters, in the Copenhagen airport. I thought that was cool. And then we went to Oslo, took the train over to Trondheim, went for a couple day ski trip up in the mountains by Finse in Norway. And all that was really neat and really wonderful. But that wasn't why we were there. In my mom's mind, we were there to see Holmenkollen. So finally, at the end, the culmination of the trip was the Holmenkollen ski race. And we stayed in a little lodge kind of bordering the ski trail. And Holmenkollen, if you don't know about Holmenkollen, it is a very big deal in Norway. Every Norwegian is born with skis on their feet, and every Norwegian goes to watch Holmenkollen every year. There are thousands and thousands of Norwegians that show up to watch this race. It's a big deal. The King of Norway is always at Holmenkollen to watch it. It's a big, big deal. Holmenkollen is basically the Super Bowl of skiing for Norway. Anyway, so the day of the race came, finally. And we got our skis on. Since we were bordering the park, we got our skis on, and we were going to ski to where the race trail was. And it was a bit of a ski to get there, and we were skiing along, and I was probably the youngest and the slowest of the bunch. And I was having a hard time keeping up, and then my boot came untied. So I bent over and tied it. And when I looked up, my family was gone. They were gone. There were many, many people there. They were, you know, the trail was three deep in Norwegians, none of whom spoke English from what I could tell, and none of them knew where my parents had gone, and I was lost on the Holmenkollen ski trail with thousands of Norwegians, and I didn't know where our hotel was. I didn't know where the race course was. I just kind of wandered, you know, here and there, taking turns. And meanwhile, I'm sure my mom and dad finally figured out I was missing. And I, knowing mom, she probably sputtered a little bit, and she probably just sort of looked at dad and kind of went, well, you guys go on, I'll go back and find Alice, you know. So anyway, I don't know how long it took. It may have taken an hour. It may have taken more than an hour. It took a while. Any rate, eventually she found me, and she was furious. She was so upset. In all the time that she had been looking for me, the race had happened, and she never got to see Barbara Britch at all the whole time. And she really was upset with me. So I am a super fan, and I love skiing, and I watch races, and I'm lucky now. I am really lucky now. But that day, I wasn't quite so lucky.